Well, we are going to start a new summer sermon series, and again, you've been told already it's going to be on prayer. And this morning is what I'm calling an introduction to prayer. And in many ways, I would tell you that's about as far as many of us ever get when it comes to a proper biblical understanding of prayer. We seem stuck in the introduction part of it. And we seem to fail to move on to those next glorious and wonderful chapters of prayer. I would tell you if prayer was an ocean, most of us feel we've been wading in a shallow puddle for much of our Christian walk when it comes to an understanding of prayer. If I was to ask you this morning, who here feels that they could use some more help when it comes to their depth and knowledge of prayer, I am assuming, of course I am making some assumptions here, that most would admit that this is a true statement in your life. I could ask you this morning, would you say that prayer, or do you find prayer difficult or easy for you? What I find interesting, yet not surprising, is that of the two most important means that the scripture lays out of God's sovereign grace, not including here the work of the Holy Spirit, is his word and prayer. And God uses his word and prayer to bring about the greatest intimacy with him, which in turn, here's the outworking of which in turn brings about, I would tell you, the greatest transformational change and growth in our lives, then if that's the case, I would imagine that his word and prayer would be top priority for each of us in each of our lives. And yet, it seems to me, I can speak to my own life here first and foremost, but as I also watch and observe others, it seems to me that many within the church struggle with the most, I think they struggle the most with the fact of their time in prayer and their time in the Word. Would you admit that? And yet we know it's, we can respond with our minds to say, yes, we know how important prayer is. Yes, we know how important the Scriptures, the Word, and the Gospel are. And yet it seems that we are so often sidetracked from going there. And I would tell you, and I don't want to give our arch enemy too much credit here, but I do believe Satan knows that as well. And Satan hates it when he sees a church getting serious about prayer, getting serious about the gospel, getting serious about the word. He absolutely abhors it. He will do everything in his ugly arsenal to dissuade us from going in that direction. He will. And so we will, we'll find these excuses popping up in our little brains often, why we won't pray, why we don't have to pray, why I don't want to pray, it's too much work, it's too much this, whatever. But I'm convinced that's one of them. I surely know that I haven't arrived when it comes to the importance and priority of prayer. And so my heart's desire through this summer series, by the grace of God, is that we would eventually plunge into the depths of prayer, that we would move on from these introductions into this life-changing power of prayer as a sovereign means of God's amazing grace. It's remarkable. And again, in a way, you should, in a sense, be jealous of me because I have an opportunity to study this week. I'll be honest. I was having a riot, if you can have a riot, studying this. But, I mean, it's just really have been a challenge for me this week in more ways than one. It's been a blessing. It's been so interesting. You just find so much about prayer in the Scriptures. In fact, is pray, the word pray or prayer or a form of the word is found, now hear me on this, some 340 to 350 times depending upon which particular version, but that's where they're all pretty much found. And that's amazing. From Genesis to Revelation, prayer is found. And that's not including now all the other words that the authors determined to use instead of prayer, like there, you'll find so many times, make supplication to the Lord, or petition, or call upon the Lord, or cry out to the Lord, or beseech the Lord, or what are some other ones? There were so many that I found that all, again, encompass and refer, in a sense, to that same topic of prayer, which tells me, and tells you something, again, in the hermeneutical rules, Bible study rules, it's the rule of emphasis here that he doesn't want us to miss the importance and priority and grand significance of prayer. It's just found throughout. And again, the largest book in the entire Bible, I don't know if anyone knows by offhand, I'll just throw this little quiz this morning. Anyone know the largest book in the Bible, of all the books in the Bible? Psalms. Largest book in the Bible is Psalms, which happens to be really a book of prayer. So the emphasis is just overwhelming. And it really nailed me between the eyes this week alone and at many levels about where I'm at. And as I was studying it this week, and I literally went through every page of my Bible, and I have a I've shared this before, but I do weird things, but you know, I've shared this before, but I use a purple pencil every time there's P, purple, prayer. Okay, you're with me now? And so I mark all the prayers in the scripture with a purple pencil. All right, that's what I do. I use a green pencil, guess for what? Green gospel. Green gospel, okay? God. Does someone say God? I'd have the whole line. Hey, you got a green-worded Bible, Gary. Oh, I love it. Anyway, so, and here's what I've come. I mean, you have to somehow, because it's such a vast topic, okay? Now, stay with me this morning, please, in this introduction. Work with me here. It's such a vast topic that you have to break it down somehow. And here's what I've discovered is that the two big categories that you can break prayer down. You can break prayer down into two huge categories, but then you must break it down further. But the two big categories are this. You have actual prayers by people, all right? Nehemiah prayed. Jesus prayed. Habakkuk prayed. Moses prayed. David prayed. Hannah prays. King Solomon prays. Paul prays. I mean, we find it time and time again, all these people that actually, so there are actual prayers written out for us, hallelujah, in the scriptures, all right? And some of them are very long and wonderful, and some of them are very short and just as wonderful. And yet, then there is the section, the second category, if we're going to break this down, is the category that I would call instructions in prayer, or instructions for prayer. An example with that would be Matthew chapter 6, pretty plain. He speaks to the crowds at a mountainside there, or a hillside, and he tells them, when you pray, pray in this manner. It's instructional. And we find that throughout. You know, the Lord's Prayer is an amazing thing. And again, of all the things that the apostles could have asked for, there's very few things that when you find this in Scripture that they asked for. They didn't ask, Lord, you know, teach us how to share our faith more effectively. Teach us how to evangelize. They didn't ask. You know, teach us how to do a better Awana program. The apostles didn't ask that. You know, teach us how to, be better at hospitality. They didn't ask that. There's so many things you think they could have asked him, and I'm sure they did, but it's not recorded in Scripture for it. But they do ask him one thing in particular. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. So they noticed something in the manner and way and form in which Jesus prayed, that it was so important that they actually asked him, and it's recorded. And then Jesus commands them, many places, but in this section he commands them, and he says, pray then in this way. in which following that we have what we call the Lord's Prayer, you know, Our Father who art in heaven. If you don't know that prayer, it's one you should memorize. Again, it's a great pattern for prayer. But we find that time and time again. Again, and through those instructions, we're called to be devoted to prayer. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to watch and pray. We're to pray in the morning. They pray in the evening. They are to pray in the afternoon. We're to pray and not lose heart. We're not to quit in prayer or give up in prayer. We can pray standing, or we can pray kneeling. We can pray with our eyes open or eyes shut. We can pray with our arms lifted high. We can pray laying flat on the ground. I mean, you'll find the position and posture of prayer in many ways. Hands folded. They pray on a mountainside. We see them praying in the desert. We see them praying in the temple. We see them praying, I love it, from a belly of a very large fish. We see them praying from prison, in a house or on a cross. We see them praying alone. We see them praying with large crowds. The entire church is gathered. And what you'll soon find out in just that little study is that, you know, here's what you'll come to the conclusion. There's never not a bad time to pray. So prayer is good all the time. And every situation. And again, more importantly, after these two large categories, you can narrow prayer down into various themes, I would call various themes or focus or types of prayer. And there's prayers for the gospel to go forth. There's prayers for spiritual growth and development, prayers for the salvation of the lost, prayers of praise and thanksgiving, so many of those, prayers of healing, prayers for direction and wisdom and discernment, prayers for the deliverance again from enemies, deliverance from prison, deliverance again from the belly of a very large fish, prayers of forgiveness and repentance, prayers for humility and brokenness. And when it comes to prayer, we can ask all types of questions about prayer, and we should. What is prayer? Good question. What is it? Why pray? What to pray? How to pray? Where and when to pray? What caused this prayer? Why did this person feel led to pray in this particular way? Who was it exactly that prayed here? Was it Jesus who prayed, or was it Peter who was praying? The bottom line, when all is said and done, is that you will come to realize that there is something hugely significant and amazingly powerful about prayer. It's there. I believe it with all my heart. And so, this morning, if you'd open up your worship folders there, we're going to start off real easy, but still very profound. It's just, I'm going to give you three characteristics this morning of prayer. And then as we move on in the coming weeks, I think we'll look at some particular prayers and break those down into some of those themes and so on. But in the meantime, what I want to do is just, I want to pray for this. Lord God, cause us to wake up and listen this morning. Cause us, Lord, to be aroused to the power and wonder and glory of prayer. Lord, use this sermon series in a magnificent and mighty way to make us, to change us, to use us. We must be a people of prayer. Lord, again, in spite of me, I would ask that you would do a marvelous work this morning. Amen. So you'll see the first note there with pens in hand, ready to write. Tamara, ready? Is what is prayer? And I have, basically, we have to give some sort of a definition of prayer. And I think we all have somewhat of a clue of what prayer is. What would be a good working definition of prayer? I tried to work on one this week. I'll be honest, whether it works or fits, we'll find out. But in the simplest form, I guess, prayer is what? We've heard it. It's a conversation with God. It's talking to God. And yet, as I thought and prayed over that, it's so much more than that. Our idea of conversation is, you know, just conversing one-on-one pretty freely, maybe lightly. But you'll find in the scriptures that it's so profound, the way and the manner in which they prayed. So I put together just a little definition here. It's definitely inadequate, but prayer is a loving, humble, spirit-led, faith-driven, God-glorifying conversation with our triune Lord. You're not going to get all that, so I won't read it. And it involves both listening to God and talking to God, but prayer is a loving, humble, spirit-led, faith-driven, God-glorifying conversation with our triune Lord. And we'll see why. I mean, you will never pray to God if you don't love God, all right? It's that simple. And you'll find in the scriptures that every time almost, people come to God in a true prayer manner, they're always coming with a sense of desperation, a sense of dependence, a sense of need, or on the opposite of that, it's a sense of just gratitude and glory and praise and blessing. You find it basically one or the other in a sense. And it's so important that we understand that. And yet, I pray, and I mean, if I ask this, is praying a chore to you? Is it too much work for us? Does it take up too much of my valuable time? Is there something more productive or fun or enjoyable I could be doing instead of praying? The answer to those six questions I just asked there is, make sure I get this right, is no, 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 no. Okay? No. There is nothing more valuable, more important, more worthy of your time than conversing with God Almighty. Amen? Nothing. Nothing. And do you have, because I don't, I'll be honest, I'm broken at times when I think, do we have any idea how privileged we are to be able to pour out our souls in heartfelt, intimate conversation with the God of the universe? Do we have a clue how privileged we are that God chooses to use the simple means of conversation in an intimate way, and he relates to us through that, through his word too, through the working of his spirit, and we are able to have this intimate connect? Wow! It just is mind-boggling. We don't even come close. We are just wading in this puddle of the depths of prayer when we should be just plunging in, and I want us to plunge in together this summer. God chooses to use prayer as the primary means, you'll find this in the scripture, of giving him glory, and yet it also brings about amazing benefits to his people. It's a win-win here. It's always a win-win in prayer. It's just so good. There's several scriptures that talk about our prayers as if they're a fragrant aroma, an incense, it says, into his nostrils. The prayers of the saints. When we pray, he is indeed, it says in the scriptures, And not that we can gain a greater standing in front of him, not that we are more loved or we're more valued or we're more worth in his eyes. No, but it says that he's actually pleased with our prayers. And I don't know about you, but I want to make God happy. I don't want to get my God mad. Okay. So let's look at the next characteristic of prayer. That definition will be worked out as we continue on. It'll become more thick and juicy, and you know. But let's look at the next one: is why pray? Why pray? What's the purpose and result of prayer? Why pray? Great question. Because a lot of people pray, all right? A lot of people pray on this planet. Did you know that? Witches and witchcraft pray. They pray. Ran into the old Greyhound with a friend way back in the day. And you know when you go into restaurants and you notice people praying, you think automatically, they're Christians. They must be Christians. And we were at the Greyhound bus stop here in downtown Minneapolis, and I'm assuming it's still there somewhere, right? I don't know. It's been here since I've been down there. Anyway, a buddy of mine, a fellow Christian, and this lady's praying. And, of course, his response is right away, I'm going to go up to her. She's probably Christian. And so he walks up, and he says, hey, how you doing? You must be a Christian. Caught him totally off guard. She goes, no, I'm not. I'm a witch. And she told him specifically exactly what she was praying for. She was praying that these people would basically be possessed by the devil. And this, it was just bizarre. She was praying for that. She told us that. So and she was just blatant about it. So I don't know what we did. And we went, whoa. You know, that was weird. But it's out there. But the point is, we have such intimacy with God. There are a whole group of people on this planet called Muslims. And I've talked to them. And yet if you ask them, are you intimate with your God? They said, are you crazy? There's no intimacy. Their God is a God who is a big meanie in the sky, literally. And they would say this, that, and he just, it's whatever Allah wants, Allah gets sort of thing. It's his will. Whatever Allah wills is it. And it's fate. Fate's everything. There's no power in prayer, really. And it's really, if you break it down, what they do, it's a lot of chanting and saying a lot of times the same thing over and over again, which God in the scriptures in Matthew 6 says, don't do that. Don't keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, like a chant. But anyway, why pray? Okay, why should we pray? Here's why. First of all, and this is an easy one, because we are commanded to pray, all right? We're commanded to pray multiple times. It's a divine imperative command. We are commanded to pray. And yet, I don't want your arm being twisted. God wouldn't want our arms being twisted, forcing us to pray. I command you to pray. Pray! You know? No, it doesn't work like that. What should be the motivation and reason? And do we pray out of a sense of duty? Or is it a sense of delight, you know? Do we want to pray or do we have to pray? There's times where we have to pray. But even when we have to pray, I hope you want to pray. And why we pray is because you and I were created, now hear me, for relational, loving intimacy with God Almighty. Now hear that? We were created in the very beginning. We have been created for this intimate relationship with God Almighty. And then, which it automatically makes prayer infinitely important. That alone makes prayer infinitely important. And prayer, now here's the key. Here's the motivation. Here's the reason. Prayer should be a natural outflow of your love for God. You hear that? Prayer should be a natural outflow of your love for God. So if you see a church that doesn't pray, here's what you can assume. It's a church that probably really doesn't love God. All right? Pretty harsh words, but it's found in Scripture time and time again. In fact, our love for God is what compels us to do everything, in a sense, for the glory and wonder of God. That's what we find in Scripture. If you love God, you will pray to God. If you love God, you will serve God. If you love God, you will pray for others and serve others and love others. It's a fact. That's what we find in the Scriptures. Again, I adore my wife. Katie gave me permission. All right. So don't go in after she comes out of the nursery. You can't hear me in there, can you, Katie? All right. How is it that I fell in love with Kate? And you're all going, duh. How is it that anyone falls in love with anybody? Guess what happens? You spend time with them, right? You converse with them, right? There's actually this wonderful conversation going on. Heather, our most recent grad here of the marriage scene, you know, with Mr. Kemp. These guys, you know, if you remember in the beginning, they actually did have the Google eyes, you know. You know, it was there. Should we say a little bit of infatuation, Chris? But what happened between these two? We saw it developed, this conversation, this love, this warmth, this care. But they each figured out, one from another, what they like and dislike, what they don't want and what they do want. And that's what happens in relationships. In like manner, it's so obvious. If you love God, guess what? You want to what? Spend time with God. Getting to know God. And this is what's been the fun thing for me this week, is that the more I've sunk into this, I guess, or dived into this prayer thing, you start seeing a bigger and bigger picture of God. And when we have a bigger and bigger picture of God and we converse with God and we study God and learn about God and know God and his attributes and characteristics and so on and so forth, guess what? Our prayers get deeper. They do. Instead of real shallow. And again, if I've shared this before, I remember when Sarah was a little girl, she would pray the prayer of, oh, Lord, save the whole world. You know, oh, Lord, save the planet. You know, and then I challenged Sarah to say, you know, Sarah, why don't we be a little more specific? You know, and she would remember this. And I said, okay, let's pray for Tommy Johnson. He's a jerk, but let's pray for Tommy Johnson. No, no, you know. But then we would keep track of certain prayers at times, you know, that would be an ebb and flow. Sometimes we'd have a prayer thing, a chart or whatever, and we could see how God answered prayer. I don't know if you've ever done that before. I used to have a notebook of prayers, and then I'd date it when God answered those prayers. It's really a fun thing to do. It's so important that we spend time conversing. Example, the other day, me and Kate, it's no secret to some, but we're Twins fans, and we don't have cable. So it was last Sunday night. I'm not going to use that word. All right, I think it was. But anyway, we went to a local restaurant downtown Stillwater in the main drag, and we like this place. They have good food, and we know they have televisions, and we're going to watch the Twins game. Well, the place was packed, and we couldn't get a booth. So we moved up to the front. We sat at the bar. It's a beautiful big bar, and it's cool because there's a TV right there. The Mad Capper, I'll tell you, yeah. And it's really good. And so we sat there, and it was fine, and we're watching the ball game, the Twins, and eating our, I had a walleye sandwich. It was good, and Kate had a burger. You're sitting on bar stools now, all right? Okay, so picture the bar stools. And the Capper has a mirror. A big mirror that goes the length of behind the bar. And so we were there for maybe 5-10 minutes watching the Twins play, and another couple comes in, all right, and sits right next to me here, the girl, and the guy doesn't sit, he kind of stands over and hovers over her like this, okay? And you're thinking, oh, you're eavesdropping. Well, it's so close, I'm sorry. And plus, you can see everything in the mirror, okay? All right? And so But I couldn't help myself. I'm trying to eat and enjoy the game, but the guy was nonstop bragging about himself and knowing this and that. And, of course, my cartoon bubble is going up here. And, oh, gosh, guy, if you only knew how to win a lady's, you know, a trust or love or whatever, respect, you don't do that. And he went on and on, and we're just going, oh, and Katie leans over, what's he saying now? You know, and to the point, and yet it was so hilarious because even the bartender behind us is picking up on this too. And, of course, his eyes are rolling back, and you know, in the back of his head. But he was claiming he knew this and that and saying everything about the Twins game as he's watching this. But it was nonstop, and I could tell it was either one of those first date scenarios or a blind date scenario. But and we were laughing by this time. We were trying everything we could to keep from laughing, literally. And then this is literally what he said, one of his big lines, and then I lost it at this point. He says this, I bet you're going to fall in love with me tonight. You know, I go, oh, you know. And I'm thinking in my cartoon bubble over here that, no, she won't. You're so full of your self-love, there's no room for another's love, you know. And so, again, it was so one-sided. There's no going to be any depth in that relationship if that would even continue, you know. I wanted to grab the guy by the ear and say, man, you are blowing this bad. You know, there's a sidebar for you. Here's what you do, Mike, when that pretty girl comes in your life. Yeah. Talk to her, ask her questions.
All right.
You know, just keep asking her questions and just go there.
Okay.
And she'll respond, and she'll go, this guy really cares about me. It's a sure bet. It's a winner. Go with that one, all right?
Okay.
All right. Yeah?
How are you doing?
Good, I'm good. All right, anyway. In order for anyone to know, love, and appreciate another person, you must intentionally and lovingly converse with that person. All right? And God tells us the only way to know him personally and intimately and lovingly, again, is by the means of his word and prayer, which means we need to spend time with him in those places. And one of the first things that truly the scripture plays out, but truly we people should notice in us as Christians, is that we are a people of prayer. That should be the first thing they notice. And fact is, prayer, once you become a Christian, or as you become a Christian, prayer, in fact, is the very first thing that you do as a Christian, as you repent and believe and ask God for forgiveness. And the result of that incredible, you know, you have that guilt. God moves in with that glorious grace. And the response is finally that wonderful gratitude. That's what we find in the text all the time. And so we pray. Why we pray is because of our love for God. Last point, how to pray. What's the form, the posture, and attitude in prayer? In other words, how should you and I approach prayer? And this was a great study for me. How we approach prayer, and it fits, is how we approach God. As we realize whom, big W there, whom it is we are conversing with, guess what? It changes everything. It changes everything. Once you realize truly who it is you're talking and conversing and listening to, it changes everything. And first and foremost, is our posture, I would say, and our attitude. It's a posture and an attitude, not so much of my hands are raised or folded or my eyes are shut or I'm on the floor or I'm kneeling, that type of posture. The first thing is our posture and attitude of our hearts. It's crucial. And And what you'll come to realize as one studies the scriptures doing a series on prayer like this is the way and manner in which people come to God. And here's what you'll find. They never, ever do you find them approaching God in prayer in a trivial, frivolous, flippant manner. It's not found. It's not found. There is a profound seriousness in their prayers to God. There's a great sense of urgency and expectation in all the prayers as I went through these. It's amazing. It's profound. But yet, there are two primary ways, and they interact with each other, in which we approach God. And this is it. So you don't want to miss this. If you want to write this down, this is good to know. We come to God in this manner, and they fit together. We come to God in faith through the working of the Spirit. We can only pray to God in faith, and we can only pray to God in the Spirit. Can we pray outside of the Spirit? Can we pray outside of faith? Yes, but guess what? God ain't listening. All right? Everyone hear that? It's crucial we get that. Ephesians 6. Again, I'll read some of these verses, but it says, without faith, this isn't Ephesians 6, but without faith it is impossible to come to God. It's impossible to please God. Again, without being born again by the Spirit of God, guess what? You do not belong to God. That's Ephesians 6:18. Aaron went over this a few weeks back in his sermon on the characteristics of the armor of God that we should be wearing right now this morning. It says, praying at all times, guess how? In the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. It doesn't say pray sometimes in the Spirit and sometimes not. It doesn't say pray once in a while in the Spirit. It says pray at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. And again, it says keep alert with all perseverance and making supplications for all the saints. But praying in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying, guess what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's Jude 1:20. Praying in the Holy Spirit. There's so many of these verses that are so astounding. I just love it. But Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, and don't take that women here. When you see that and that, it's sons and daughters, okay? It's all of us that are in Christ. But it says, because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. And therefore, it says, you are able to cry out, and you've heard this before, Abba, Father. And that, and some people say, well, Abba means daddy, whatever, but the bottom line is, it doesn't necessarily mean that in the original Aramaic or Hebrew, but it is, it's a sense of intimacy. I called my father dad. I would very rarely call him, hey, father, how art thou, father? You know, no, it was dad. And he understood, and it was a term of endearment, and that's what Abba, Father is, and you can only have that term of endearment and that term of intimacy and that term of closeness through the working of the Holy Spirit, and no one apart from the work of the Spirit will be able to ever to say, Abba, Father. Again, Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, all right, that's good news. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Wow. If you're not born again, in fact, it says, if you're not born again in the Gospel of John, third chapter, Nicodemus, Jesus meeting at night there, it says, you can't worship me. In fact, he says, it's impossible to worship me unless you are born again by the Spirit of God. And it says, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. It's an imperative again. And we know in Romans 8:26 later that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses when we don't know how to pray properly. It's not saying we don't know what to pray. I can give you a list of things of what to pray, but there's times I just don't know how to pray the most effectively, and the Spirit intercedes for us, which is an amazing way, and Christ is our advocate, and Christ is our mediator to get to God, to talk. It's just amazing all this stuff, how it works out in the Scriptures. But there's times, even when I'm dealing with family and grief and this scenario with the, how do I really comfort? How do I really bring comfort to maybe an Elmer, you know, or a Tamara, or Tony, you know? How do I, Lord, help me. How do I minister in a more effective way? I know I need to, but give me that wisdom and discernment. And it's through the working of the Spirit. Again, and it says you must have faith. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verses like 22 to 25, I should say, it says, you must have faith in God. And truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that it will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe or have faith that you have received it and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. It's interesting, that's always tacked on in several places. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. You'll find out, that we're not going to go there today, but there are hindrances to prayer. One of them is if we have an unforgiving spirit. Don't expect your prayers to be answered. Again, Matthew 21, 22, whatever you ask in prayer, it says you'll receive it if you ask by faith or have faith. And now that's not a name it and claim it here, okay? That's what he's not talking about that here. It says, faith in whom? Not my faith. It's not your. It's faith in Jesus Christ, who is more than able. Amen? He's the God of the impossible. James talks about faith all the time. The little book of James. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives generously to all without reproach. But, that contrast, but if he's going to ask, it says, let him ask. Guess what? How? In faith. All right? In faith. And in fact, he says, if you don't ask in faith, you're in doubting. It's like one who is on the sea being tossed to and fro, so on and so forth. He's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. I don't want to be that. It says we're to have pray in faith. And my hope and prayer, really, is that this sermon series would be used mightily by God to light the fires within all of our hearts. And I'm just going to close with this. If you knew that your particular blood type was a particular blood type that would save the life of a loved one, and it was absolutely needed that they receive this transfusion of your blood, and in a sense, an infusion of your blood into their body, would you give them your blood? Would you? I'm assuming we're all nodding. Absolutely. Yeah, duh. Of course we would. But in like manner, I tell you that what the church needs today, our church, the church in America as a whole, we too need a transfusion. We need a serious transfusion or an infusion of prayer within the family of God, or forget being a church. We really do, beloved. And if you would, I would even challenge all of you to start, do what I did. Just go through the Bible and start looking for prayers. It's amazing. It's amazing what we will discover and why we should be a people of prayer. And as Aaron said, it should be written. It is written within our DNA if you're truly born again. It's a natural outflow of our love for God. We pray. We pray. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll go to the communion tables. Blessed Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this church, this family. Lord, may your love, may our love for you, Lord, be our motivating factor for praying, for serving, for being kind and considerate and hospitable to one another this morning. I pray that people would see that, Lord, and that you would bring us back tonight. Lord, I know last time we did this, Lord, we had 30 souls in a circle praying, beseeching, pleading, asking, confessing, repenting. Lord, I pray that you would bring just as many this evening. do a work, Lord. Surprise us, Lord, that we would be able to look back in years from now and say, remember when we got serious about you. Remember when we got serious about prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.